When Jesus was on the earth, he was very selective with his friendships. Everyone wanted to be close to him, but he chose only 12 disciples with whom to spend most of his time. Out of those 12, three were his close friends, Peter, James, and John. One could be considered his best friend, John. He was described as the disciple whom Jesus loved. You may know a lot of people and have many acquaintances, but you have to be careful who you allow into your inner circle. You can't have 20 best friends. The higher you go, the more successful you are, the tighter your circle needs to become. You may have 20 people you call friends, and that's great, but make sure the two or three you choose to be close to you are 100% for you. Make sure they believe in you, stick up for you, and are with you through thick and thin. It could be that you're not seeing God's best because your team is weak. You're investing valuable time in people who were never supposed to be a part of your inner circle. If your team is weak, you're going to be weak. In Mark 5, Jesus was traveling to another city to pray for a little girl who had died. When he arrived at the home, the scripture states that Jesus didn't allow anyone to go in with him except for Peter, James, and John, his inner circle. Why? Jesus knew when he got in that room where this little girl was lying dead, he needed people who wouldn't question who he was. He needed people who wouldn't ask, "Are you sure you're the Son of God? What if she doesn't get healed? Do you have a backup plan?" When you're in the heat of the battle, when you need God's favor, when you need a breakthrough, you need a legal situation to turn around, you can't afford to have people in your inner circle asking, "Do you really think you're going to get well? My grandmother died of the same thing. Do you really think you're going to get out of debt? Business is so slow." You need people who are joined in spirit with you. You need people who will say, "If you're bold enough to believe it, count on me. I'm bold enough to agree with you. If you believe you can break that addiction, I'm not going to tell you 10 reasons why you can't. My report is you are well able. If you believe you can get your degree, you believe you can start that business, you believe you can see your marriage restored, then count on me. I'm on board. I'm all for you." You need people who will join faith with you and not try to talk you out of it. Jesus got to the home and everyone was so distraught. You can imagine the crying, weeping, sorrow. Jesus looked at them and said, "Don't be upset. She's not dead. She's only asleep." Their sorrow turned to mocking, ridiculing, making fun. "What do you mean she's not dead? Of course she's dead." What Jesus did next is very significant. It's the key to living in victory. The scripture says they mocked and jeered at him, and Jesus put them out. Notice the Son of God asked them to leave. He showed them the door. Jesus knew the importance of having people around him who understood his destiny. His attitude was, "I don't need your doubt. I don't need you telling me what I can't do. I'm going to surround myself with believers, with people of faith, with people who understand my assignment." If you have people close to you who are constantly pulling you down, telling you what you can't do, how you'll never accomplish your dreams, understand that it is scriptural to show them the door. It may be difficult, but you have to have the attitude, "I cannot fulfill my destiny with your critical spirit in my life. I can't become who I was created to be with you dragging me down. I love you, but I can't allow you in my inner circle. I'm going to love you from a distance." This is what Jesus did. He took only the girl's parents and Peter, James, and John into the little girl's room. He spoke to that girl, and she came back to life. Think of this. Jesus could have healed her in front of the whole laughing, mocking, ridiculing crowd. He's God. He can do anything. But he was showing us this principle. Who you have in your inner circle is extremely important. If Jesus went to the trouble to ask the wrong people to leave, if he took the time to weed out the doubters, the naysayers, the people who didn't believe in him, if he was that concerned about his inner circle, how much more concerned should we be with who's in our inner circle? Pay attention to who's on your team. Who's speaking into your life? To whom are you giving your time and attention? In practical terms, who are you eating lunch with every day at the office? Who are you talking to on the phone so much? Are they building you up or tearing you down? Are they pushing you toward your destiny, or are they telling you what you can't do? Are they modeling excellence, integrity, character, godliness, or are they lazy, sloppy, undisciplined? You have a responsibility to redeem your time. Don't waste it with people who don't sharpen you. If you don't politely show them the door, they can keep you from your destiny. And sometimes we know a person's not good for us. We know they're dragging us down. But we think if we let them go, we're going to be lonely. Yes, you may be lonely for a season, but you'll never give up something for God without Him giving you something better back in return. God will not only give you new friends, He'll give you better friends. People who inspire you, people who celebrate you, people who push you forward. This may mean that you have to change whom you eat lunch with at the office every day. That person who's always finding fault, critical, bad-mouthing the boss, you don't need that poison in your life. That's not redeeming the time. You may have to change hanging out with that neighbor who's always depressed, defeated, has a sad song. If you stay there, you're going to end up defeated. It's better to make the change and be lonely for a season than to be poisoned for a lifetime. When we come to the end of our days, God is going to ask us, "What did you do with the time I entrusted you with? Did you develop your gifts and talents? Did you accomplish your assignment? How did you spend your life?" It's not going to be a good excuse to say, "God, I got distracted, but my friend got me off course. God, I lived bitter, but somebody did me wrong. God, I was negative, but my company let me go." I'm asking you to quit making excuses and start redeeming the time. We're not always going to be here. The scripture says our life is like a mist. We're here for a moment, then we're gone. Make this decision that you're going to be an on-purpose person. Set your goals and be disciplined to stick with it. Don't waste any more days. Prune off those relationships that are not adding to your life, and don't go to bed with any kind of defeat, bitterness, negativity still in your mind. This day is a gift. Make sure you're investing your time and not wasting it. If you do this, the seeds of greatness on the inside are going to take root and begin to flourish. You're going to see God's favor in new ways.